Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello and welcome to our Season 5, Episode 40!
Big Belly Burger Morpher. You go down to the Big Belly Burger and you buy yourself a Morpher. That's how it works now. They sell everything.
One in every Happy Meal.
I'm telling you, this Morpher is going to give me so many more puns this year. We got White Castle jokes, we got Good Burger jokes. Not Good Burger. Yeah, that's right. Okay, there's a reference called, or a restaurant called Good Times here, and I thought I accidentally said that.
No, you did right, I think.
It's like Good Times without the burger, except they do sell burgers. There's no clowns, though, so.
Clowns.
Stop clowning. Zach. Around. Wasn't Zach involved with the clown somehow?
I think that was a plot at some point.
Probably.
The only clown I could think of was Pineapple Clown. He was at Morphicon because he's important.
He's very important. They will literally make anyone a guest these days. That's not even a joke. It all started with the cosplayers.
Yeah.
Brian's going to be a guest at PMC, whatever number it is now. Wait, what? Five? Four?
Five.
Okay.
If cosplayers can be guests, I can be a guest.
He doesn't even wait for their permission. He's just going to set up a table.
I am. There was extra tables there. Could have sat down, no problem. Put up a little banner. No one would have known.
No one.
No one except everyone that saw me.
Except for Scott and his evil mustache. He would have stopped you. He stops everyone from everything.
He would have stopped me with the mustache.
Pretty much. He's going to grow it so long it's going to be like a bunch of whips.
He's basically going to be Molestache. Except the dude.
And Molestache is like a way better person. Or just insulting people. Let's just insult everyone right off the bat and get it over with.
Right off the bat. Everyone is awful.
Everyone can suck it.
I'm not sure.
Your mom can suck it.
There he is.
There we go.
I was like, we started and he vanished.
We started with another human being and another tinier human being.
Okay, so one-ups. I bought some more Bionicles, and I believe that's it. I got the AmiAmiOki box, but there was really nothing super cool. Blue Beat is amazing. I will say that. That was like the toy of interest in that box. But outside that, bought some Bionicles, and nothing else of importance as far as I'm concerned.
I don't have much either. One of my small potatoes boxes got here, and that was really it. I don't even have any mundane stories. Class actually happened this week, so I was disappointed that he didn't screw up again.
That is disappointing.
It is very disappointing, but like my life's really boring. Kevin's like, oh, talk now? God.
Let's see what happened this week. I just rode a parade, beat people with beads. That was fun. I got my Oki box. It has AC, Yomi Ryugen, Blue Beat.
Blue Beat's so good.
And some shift cars.
I prefer to call them the Blue Striker Borg because I am a reverse purist.
Did you pay stupid amounts for those stupid magazine shift cars too?
Yes.
Okay. I feel less bad now.
And the other night we went to eat, and after we ate, Kaylee was like, let's go to Toys R Us and look for more Ranger keys. And I was like, okay. And then I actually found Ranger keys. So that was cool. I got everything except Ninja Storm and Lost Galaxy from the new set.
Other new ones, yeah.
Yeah,
I still need Lost Galaxy.
right? I still never did get the last three sets, but whatever.
Oh, the MMPR?
What, yeah.
Super those, Force ones?
Those never appeared in my universe.
I think I still got a bunch. Do you want me to pick them up for you?
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. I'll be at Toys R Us tomorrow, so I'll look and see if they still have them.
Yeah,
such a polite interaction. I can hardly handle it.
That wouldn't be delightful. Okay, sure.
That's how Brian argues.
It's a new thing for our show. We've turned a new page. We're just going to be polite to each other.
This is madness. All right, I'll text you tomorrow then.
Okay. Good sir, I suggest that your mother fornicate herself. We're just going to say everything politely now. It's so stupid. I'm trying to think. Nothing else has happened. It's just been more Pokemon, more taking care of a baby who is like the most adorable thing ever.
Did you get your Unova starters?
No, I gotta do that.
I had to download Samurott.
Pretty much every day I go, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna do that. And then I don't. Like, I forget. So, I say whatever. Trying to think. You know, I really haven't done anything else or gotten anything else. It's just been Ranger Keys and my Oki box. So the Dead Heat stuff is going to eventually come from HLJ. I'm hoping to get the TK figure to put with it first.
And the Kari.
I'm not let that go. Friday is D-Day for Ninja Toys. That's when we know.
Does they release this week?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I was just joking. That's a question I keep getting on AskFM.
Oh, they really do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's YouTube videos out already from the Japanese peoples.
Oh, so HLJ.
I never even bothered to get them from HLJ.
I didn't. Did you get them on AmiAmi?
No.
Because
I just didn't get.
I don't even care anymore.
I didn't know what to do, and like, I mean, everything is still in stock on HLJ.
Oh, well, that could bode well. Maybe everyone was really put off by the tumor.
Like, the only thing that's not in stock is the Otomo Nin Shinobi Maru, and I got that with my vinyls at AmiAmi. So,
that's
I'm
weird.
Not, like...
Vinyls, the only thing they don't have?
Yeah, everything else says add to cart. I'm looking at it right now. I just refreshed the page.
That's weird.
Well, at least that bodes well.
That's why I didn't really care about whether or not I did it in advance. I'm like, well, everything's still there.
I just didn't want to have to think about it for AmiAmi. I'm so bad at AmiAmi checking now.
Yeah, AmiAmi.
I pretty much stopped. Like,
I still do it, and then I just wonder why, because I've gone and bought whatever it was at somewhere else. But whatever.
Our times have changed.
I know, right?
We used to have our like coordinated activations. That time I got cock blocked by Comcast. That was a thrilling night.
All the times we had live figure activations on the podcast, I just panicked.
And now we're like,
I don't know. No, I didn't. Damn it.
Like,
those were the days.
They were.
So are you all done?
I think so, yeah.
I said yep, like answering for him. He's done.
Are you done? Yeah, okay. So speaking of toys, since that's what we were talking about. I guess second quarter, is that what we call them now? I don't know. Everything's off.
Yeah.
The new toy catalogs for Drive and Ninja have appeared, and
that we hypothetically talked about and came out.
Drive. I know. It literally did. Like the next day, and here I am recording the podcast again, knowing everything I said was true.
at least it was true. I remember there were several times we talked about these rumors that, like, never happened. Like, there was, like, three rumors about what Gose Ultimate was, and yeah. We, like, discussed it in depth, and then the next day it was all disproven. It's like, our podcast is just continually irrelevant.
Like, and it doesn't matter what day we record. We've experimented with this. Yeah, we'll record on Tuesdays. And then news breaks on Wednesday. So, okay, hey, let's record on Wednesday this week and see what happens. We record on Wednesday, news happens on Thursday. Like, God damn it!
You're welcome, Earth. Or at least the small section of Earth that cares about Toku news.
We've recorded sometimes on Thursdays, news comes out on Friday. Seriously?
They're watching us.
Like, it is always like the day after we record. It's really stupid.
Look, it's a picture of type... Blue, whatever his name is,
Formula.
He has He's sweeping something? I don't remember. It looks like a ninja or RoboCop with a dust pail.
I mean, I would have to see better pictures of it, but I don't hate it.
What, type formula?
Yeah.
Wait, where do you see a picture of that? I don't remember seeing
it. I retweeted it.
There's a bunch of funny symbols above it, but there's a picture and a music note at the end. What does that mean? What does that mean? What's the music note and the question mark? What
they're
the hell?
They're singing their tweet.
I think Japanese people don't even understand their own language so much, they just put random symbols in it. It's like, I don't even know what we're saying, man.
Alright, so...
You're a moron.
We'll start with Drive, since we got derailed by type formula.
If only Tokyo was here, that'd be a brilliant thing.
There is no actual form images anywhere in these toy catalogs, just like we've been getting for Drive. It's really obnoxious.
Yeah, I don't know why they're being so secretive. Meanwhile, they're unveiling all the Tokyo stuff, or, damn it, Ninja stuff way early.
Type formula has graduated from complete silhouette to just a shadowed silhouette. So that's cool. His shit comes out in March, but starting at the top of the toy catalog, the first thing in is the DX Shift Trideron shift car, which basically turns Trideron into a limousine. It looks really, it looks like a stretch limo from here. I don't think the actual shift car is going to be quite limousine proportion. It just kind of looks like that.
Drive's going to prom?
He is. And it's got like a giant sunroof on the top. It's great.
I like how it takes the belt and it just reverses where the lights are on the logo.
Pretty much. So that doesn't have any flip capabilities, but it still shifts, so it's just really clunky. It's got LEDs in it, some sort of screen thingy on the top that looks like a sunroof, like I said. That will be his final form, as far as I'm aware.
And yeah, which basically means that Dead Heat is like Jinba,
right,
and then Formula would be Kachidoki.
It's pretty much a carbon copy. Like it, I feel like from now on, every rider is gonna have like it's his base form.
And quarter form, mid form,
quarter form, a half form, which is more like a third quarter form at this point than the final form.
Yeah,
see, I thought Jinba more is like the mid combo, and then Kachidoki was like pre-final, like Agito's was.
Yeah,
it's like stages.
And it would have worked for him though because of the nature of Gaim. Mm-hmm. But like, because he had wild technique, and that's like having Pine and Ichigo.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
except
then,
he uses them.
Except he uses them. Ichigo, what?
The fuck is an Ichigo? Ryugen's over here going, what's a kiwi? I got this club. Michi, that's a gun. What?
Oh, Michi.
Baron was like, I'm tired of Mango. Give me a Genesis driver. I want a new suit. Okay.
And then I want to kill everyone. It's a thundering loony. That's
exactly how it went down.
That's true. We just summarized Gaim perfectly, actually.
So, Shift Trideron makes, or Type Trideron, rather, has the capability of turning three shift cars into one. So it's kind of like some weird mix of Drive and O's. So there is a form with Max Flare, Funky Spike, and Midnight Shadow called Attack 123. It's a great
name.
Thinking
it reminds me of Cosmic States when you combine the switches.
That'll work. I was just going with the three thing, so...
Count the
Whatever.
Medals.
There is a form.
I don't count them.
There's a form that you. I said 1, 2, 3 already.
Oh, okay.
That's it. It's literally called Attack 1, 2, 3. And then there is a form that utilizes Justice Hunter, Mad Doctor, and Fire Braver called People Saver.
I would call it just Mad Bra. But that's me.
And then there's another one shown that utilizes Rumble Dump, Spin Mixer, and Rolling Gravity called Construction Site. So these are great formulas. It's actually Koji Genba, but translated as Construction Site, so I'm just going to call it that because it's funnier.
I hope they say it out loud, actually, like that.
And so basically, he's got one singular tire on...
I should watch Drive.
It's like this weird sash sort of thing, but it's just on his left side. And then
it's like
a purse. So that's a new tire completely. And then at least for the rescue theme and the construction theme, he'll have those other two weapons. So he'll have Justice Hunter's grill plate. And that's what it looks like to me. It'll always look like that. And Mad Doctor's thing. And then Rumble Dump's drill and Rolling Gravity's giant weight thing. So that's whatever. It is what it is. But it looks all right. It will probably be cooler once you can hear all the sounds and shit. But whatever. The next page, that's out in May, I believe. June, my bad.
The May part of June.
Yes. The next one is all about Kamen Rider Chaser. Yes, the rumors are true. Duh, predictability and such. The DX Shingo X, because that's what traffic lights are called. And Signal Chaser. So that comes with the signal bike for Kamen Rider Chaser, as well as the traffic light themed axe. It's got like the little box that you press to crosswalk, and the top is the two crosswalk signs, and it's an axe and all of that stuff. So that does that. What?
Well, I have no problem with Chase becoming a writer, and a writer, not just a writer, but a writer. I would kind of have rather, because it use it with the Mox Driver, right? The Signal Chaser. I kind of would have much rather if he had his own belt, and I didn't have to buy a stupid axe.
I don't want.
You know what I would like? Why doesn't he just keep the suit he has? I like it. He's got a cool gun that makes me happy in my pants. So why not just keep that?
Truth. I agree with both of
that
you.
Too. I mean, I agree with Dawson, but if they're going to give him a new transformation thing, why can't he just get his own belt?
I don't know, because, I mean, it's one more toy to sell. Whether it's premium or otherwise.
Either them had a secret sound in the Bray Gunner for his transformation, and he just uses it to become a rider, or they released like a new Bray Gunner type deal.
Yeah.
Just because...
Like, recolor it a little bit, or...
Like, just something cooler than that fucking axe. Because you know it's probably not going to do, like, anything.
No, the only functionality... It feels a lot like the... previous weapons released. I mean, like, you've got an attack sound, you hit the button in the middle to switch modes, it looks like. Baby. And you can attack with the go sign and the stop sign, and that's really about it. I mean, it's a rider weapon, and it's the big weapon of the year, like the Meta Gabiru and stuff, except it doesn't seem nearly as functional.
And Dinosaur.
Like, the Meta Gabiru was just awesome.
It was.
It gulped.
It did. So, I mean, I don't know if he's just going to straight up use a Mach Driver, if he's going to have a repainted one that they're going to try to sell us on Premium Bandai or whatever, but right below it is an advertisement for the Mach Driver, in case retailers didn't know what they were selling previously.
Good, because I think Mr. S was confused.
As far as I know, it's just going to straight up be the Mach Driver. Whether Mach like dies and he gets his driver or whatever, I don't think that's going to happen because of what we see next. The DX Ride Booster set consists of a red and blue go-kart. Like, this is like straight up bumper cars over here. That is attachments for Trideron, each one attached to the rear wheel thing that's on the back. And it shows Mach in the red one and Machine Chaser, which I assume will eventually be Rider Chaser, in the blue one, attached to Trideron.
I figured they were just doing that to hide his rider form, because they're douchebags.
Yeah. So that legitimately, I don't think, comes with anything worthwhile. It's only 3,800 yen, so it's not like it's a lot, but it doesn't look like it comes with any signals or tires or anything like Trideron and the Ride Crosser did, so I don't know how easy of a sell it's going to be, but whatever, he gets go-karts attached to his car. And then finally we have the Rider Hero Series figures, and then the TK09 is Formula. That comes out in March. The TK4 Rider Chaser is out in May, and then the TK4 type Trideron comes out in July. Trideron comes with the People Saver tire, if I'm reading this correctly. And Chaser comes with the signal for Kiken, the little torpedo gun.
The boosters might come with the other combined tires, assuming they come out. I don't pay attention to the dates you said. I forgot them already.
The ride booster comes out in April, so
it's
not
going
to be anything like that.
Oh. They'll give them to us some kind of way, because they're not going to just... It might be in whatever premium set they use for the rest of Drive's tires.
Yeah, probably. Because, I'm surprised that TK11 Trideron one only comes with the People Saver tire. I mean, it's only two more tires to come with, so I don't...
Yeah, I don't know.
This is a funny name. Like, it's so specific.
So that's that. There's also this big light-up drive-type speed figure. And then a campaign to get the Shift speed prototype Shift car, the one that Proto Drive uses to transform. I don't know the details because I can't read it all, but from what I could guess, it's if you buy the trailer cannon, the signal axe, the drive driver, the mock driver, or the Zenrin shooter, you get one. And that will start April 18th. So, hopefully, the signal axe will come out then, because that would be the only thing I would buy in that group that I hadn't purchased already.
What about the trailer cannon?
Trailer cannon comes out in March, so I'll probably own it already.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, that's handy information to have.
That is handy information.
There's too many things to keep track of what's coming out when. It would be great as if there was a schedule somewhere I could look at.
I know. That would be great.
Sounds like a plug.
I'm trying.
You too can check out this dedicated toy release schedule at shugenshinobi.com/toy-release-schedule, I think that might be.
Or you can just click on toy release schedule when you go to the website.
That's a lot easier than that.
If you're an idiot, don't even bother.
You know what else would be easy is if there were just a convenient list of like each type of toy, and then I could, you know, find what my favorite things are that way also.
Well, you're in luck because we have those two. Just
that's
click
right.
The cool guy list and select the list that you want to see.
Cool guy lists have been around so long. Weren't they on the CS Toys forums originally?
Yes.
We've been doing this shit for too long, guys.
We have. Children have literally been born now at this point. I'm talking about Mayans. Little Matsudas. Oh.
Children were born, sold, forgotten, remembered.
This was all started before even Kaylee was born.
Oh, God.
That makes it worse.
So
understand that, folks. My little assistant wasn't even born yet. And this was all already started.
CS Toys Forum, that shit's ancient.
This is so much bigger than you can even imagine.
That's like back in 09.
Oh, God. When we were so young and naive to how much idiocy filled this fandom. And to be fair, I don't think it was as idiotic before.
No, it's gotten worse. If you watch my earlier videos, you can hear me so full of hope. And also not full of hope, because I was still sort of shy on camera. Now I'm like, whatever. Fat people reference, or not fat people, heavyweights. I couldn't think of the movie.
That's a gritty reboot.
The gritty reboot's just called Fat People, and Ben Stiller runs a internment camp. It's really dark.
Dawson's used to running internment camps. He used to run them all the time back in the 40s.
I've been alive that long, clearly. That's why I hate old stuff, because they were really sick back in the day.
You are a middle-aged gay man.
I'm half middle-aged gay man. I'm also a half fire person, apparently. I totally would have been Cisco. I name things. Come on.
No.
Yes, I do.
Does that mean I could be Caitlin? Because that would be awesome.
Sure.
Then I could have a vagina.
And you get in the mail.
I do get in the mail. They're the best. But can he do the salmon ladder? Because Stephen Amell can do the salmon ladder.
I'll just eat salmon. That's like how I do it. I can't do the salmon ladder, but I can eat salmon while sitting on a ladder.
Okay, I think salmon. Eating is a sign that we should move on to the Ninja toy catalog.
Hold up, wait. I just want to first point out how stupid it is that there was news stories about the drive stuff saying this form is revealed when it's clearly shaded. I really want to see a news article say drive type Trideron veiled. Like, it's so annoying. Like, it's already annoying that people do the revealed thing all the time, but when it's not even really revealed, I just had to say
that. And announced would have been a far more beneficial word to use in that situation.
Because I had seen the silhouette. I fell for it, too, because they did this last time, whatever the last one was. But I seen the silhouettes in the morning, and then a few hours later, I was on Twitter, and I see the revealed story, and I click on it, and it's still the same picture. Like, people are idiots. Idiots. I'm surrounded by idiots. Anyway, now we can move on.
There we are. So our sixth ranger is called Star Ninja, like I said last week. And we got his design, and it is amazing.
It's pretty cool.
I love it.
It's like a cowboy super Zeo Ranger number 5.
He is a golden cowboy ninja.
Let that sink in. Golden cowboy ninja. That's amazing.
He's got a scarf. Cool
power.
Like, his entire design is great. He's got, like, a cowboy hat-esque helmet with, like, the sheriff star as the visor and, like, a Wild West, like, poncho sash thing as, like, the traditional Six Ranger armor. And the upper part is red to mimic a bandana scarf thing, and everything about him is amazing.
If you don't know about cowboys, just watch Back to the Future 3.
Yeah, that's all you
can do. That's like everything. That's where I learned about cowboys.
That's where
I learned about Jules Verne.
Basically, everything I said last week was actually completely correct.
Even though it sounded batshit insane.
It did. I think I was talking to Anchor Crab about this. He's like, you could literally come up with any sort of rumor about Ninja, and it would have to be believable, because nothing can top this. His mecha is DX Bison King, which can transform between Rodeo Maru, which is a little, like, Shinobi Maru-esque, little blue dude, that rides on the Bison King buggy, which is basically an ATV with a cow head on it. Not even kidding. And then the buggy obviously can turn into the robot base, and then Rodeo Maru basically, like, sits on top and forms the head of the robot. The just like all the other ones, the head is made up of the shuriken, so it looks like he's wearing a cowboy hat, which is also really freaking amazing. So that's pretty cool. It can combine with Shurikenjin to make Shurikenjin King, which is very Ground Gosei Great-esque to me. He gets little platform boots, a big upper chest piece. The arms move up, and he gets a bigger hat.
Bigger hats equal more power.
Yeah, obviously. So that's pretty cool. I dig Bison King himself. I love that name, Bison King.
I'm not like a huge fan of his mech on the own. I'm sticking with it. But I like the combined mode. Like, it looks kind of dumb, but like, it's in that area where it looks so dumb it looks appealing, because I can combine everything and just sit in a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to sit in the corner with Awesome.
It kind of looks like he has hovercrafts for feet.
Like, go on my hovering.
He's got like little fans.
Doors, outdoors, all around.
I didn't know any more lyrics besides what I said.
That's why I'm here.
And so, you might be thinking, what does he use to transform? Ladies and gentlemen, he uses a burger.
Oh, it's true.
A burger phone, actually, if you want to get technical. It's hard to say if it's actually, like, legitimately a phone, But it opens up and it has panels on the front. I'm pretty sure there's like a camera and like a phone-shaped button on there. So I think one looks like the YouTube logo. So I'm pretty sure he's got a smartphone burger.
It's the future. iBurger.
This is the future. Basically, you open it up kind of like some sort of like ID badge. And you put the shuriken on top of, it would be the tomato.
Not a dramatization.
Spin it and close it to initiate the transformation. And his shuriken is not only reminiscent of a sheriff's badge, because it's a yellow star, it acts as the cheese slice and the meat patty. For this burger, it is like they made a changer for me.
Brian's gonna buy like multiples just so he can have cheese meat shuriken to throw at people.
I would. like seriously, this is amazing. Like it's batshit stupid. Like honestly, if you approach this idea to me, if I was working for Bandai, I would look at you and probably fire you. But then rehire you because you're so fucking weird that you might actually got a hit on your hands. And I hope that's what happens here because this is fucking weird. I love it.
Totally.
Like, Ninja is so knucking futz. It's crazy. Like, they just don't care. They are literally doing everything and nothing at the same time.
It is, and like they said on one of the like production interview things, they're like, it's the 40th year that Sentai's been on the air, so we're celebrating by making Ninja a reference to everything. And it's like, so that's why the robot is made up of vehicles, animals, and humanoid shapes. I'm like, well, okay. So now we got a changer that's a burger. That hasn't been done before. It's a Forze reference.
Well, it's clearly. Burger Meal's brother.
So that's called the Ninja Star Burger, by the way. I never said what it was called.
You can order it at the Big Belly Burger. It's a number 7.
That'll be out in May. His weapon gets even better. His weapon is the Guitar Shinobi Attack Star Sword Gun, is the full name. Star Sword Gun is the short name. Obviously, it is a sword and a gun.
Really?
Shaped like an electric guitar.
This is what they think of us. This is so insulting.
People were saying that.
It's so dumb. If our stereotype is we like guitars and burgers, fine. Your stereotype is eating bean paste. Suck it. We only have one kind of paste here. It's called tooth. We use it to clean our teeth.
So that will also be out in May. It has attack shuriken that has a flip panel on it. Can switch between wind and thunder. Wind.
Okay, it'd be funny if it was wind. I'm just going to use the wind shuriken and just get this done right now.
It shows the wind being used with the sword mode and the thunder being used with the gun mode. Might be interchangeable, I don't know.
Because if you used wind and gun mode, it's just a blow dryer.
Truth.
Your hair will never be wet again.
So to rewind a little bit, we have a gold cowboy ninja whose robot is a giant cow. Transforms with a burger and attacks with a guitar-shaped sword gun.
It's so dumb and so awesome at the same time.
I don't know what to think. I comprehend everything, and I open my arms to you, Star Ninja, for being my savior.
The thing is that, especially after Gaim, I mean, I don't think I would have reacted more negatively or anything before Gaim, but I'm more open to things because of how out there Gaim seemed. I mean, now thinking about it, it doesn't seem as out there, but that's just because the fruit theme makes sense now with the whole forbidden fruit. But still, like, even though I liked the suit designs and wasn't really as negative as a lot of people, I was still like, wow, what the hell? Fruit? So it's hard now to judge it so quickly. I mean, this could end up being dumb. This series could be, like, as unbearable as Tokyo Drift. But even as it is, if it is, like, the gear is so stupid and cool that I want it. But it could end up being awesome.
Yeah, I basically came to the conclusion that even if the show fucking sucks and it doesn't work for me, I will still adore this show. Like, just for doing exactly what it's doing. So, like, even if I hate it, I will still love it in some way or another. Like, I can't fully hate it for giving me a gold cowboy ninja with a burger changer.
Are people already, like, I thought they would, but I haven't seen anybody say it. Have they started saying now it's unadaptable?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that happened. It's unadaptable because he uses a burger and the soccer moms are going to flip a shit saying it's promoting fast food to our children.
Well, we should promote fast food to our children because it's delicious. I hate that. And they're like, oh, we have to get the Empower message back of having a veggie burger. I'm like, how about no? People also seem to forget we had a sushi changer before. Granted, sushi is more healthy, but still, it's equally as dumb. And we don't have to use it. We just, like, made it a silver phone, so we don't have. I mean, I guess it depends. Well, not really. I was gonna say it depends on how much it's in the footage, but if we're using the current regime, they don't seem to, you know, they are more willing to edit around.
Yeah, they don't really seem to care as much right now.
So, yeah. So, and plus, it's kind of far off. But I do kind of hope we get Tokyo Drew, though. I don't really want them to skip.
Oh, ow. I don't really care either way what they do. I would like to see what they do with a Tokyo Drift adaptation, but at the same time, Ninjas is such a safe haven that I think, like, they'd probably just skip to it. But
because some of the stuff's kind of dumb though.
Yeah, like the motif is very mixed. It's ninjas, but outside of the katana as a changer, not a whole lot really screams ninja outside of the shurikens. So it's a really interesting decision on their part. I mean, they could skip Tokyo Drift and Ninja and go for whatever's after Ninja.
That's true.
Because we have to remember, we still have to sit through 2015 and 2016 for Dino Charge.
Yeah, we keep forgetting that.
So we'll still have another entire Sentai under our belt before...
Like, I'm partly torn because I think that even as dumb as some of the stuff in a Ninja is, I think it'll make for a lot cooler non-show toys than Tokyo Drift, because I tend to like when they have more, like, non-technical ones, I think, make the cooler toys, even though they have some technical stuff. But at the same time, like, even though I'm kind of come to terms with Tokyo Drift, I'm okay with it now. We're okay. We settle our differences. I want to see a show, like, another chance to have a show that I care about behind all this stuff. And I think it has potential, and I want an Orange Ranger figure. That's the main reason. So,
yeah.
Get on it. But anyway, well, what's the purple thing? I don't know its name, but I like it.
Oh, I forgot we didn't finish the catalog.
I wanted to talk about the purple thing. I've seen it a million times, no idea its name. I just call it the purple thing.
The purple thing, as Dawson put it, is the next mecha in the Otomo Shinobi series, which is just the support mecha. Surfer Maru.
I like it.
Is the name. So basically, it is a shark-shaped submarine sort of thing.
Series jumping the shark. The purple shark.
And the very front piece where that orange sort of nose is will pop out, I believe, and transform into the little guy, and it'll unfold to turn it into a, looks like a turbine-powered surfboard, and the little robot guy can sit on top of it, hence Surfer Maru. And basically that will replace Shinobi Maru in the cockpit of Shurikenjin. Give him a new hat and make him Shurikenjin Surfer. There's a little tiny thing at the bottom that says DX Bison King. It'll work with him in some fashion. It looks like I don't see the little surfer guy on him at all. It looks like he's just standing on the surfboard. But there's that. So that's our third little shinobi guy. Surfer Mario.
Like, I don't know why, but, like, I latched onto that. It's going to be my thing, I guess. But I really dig it. Like, it's this little purple dude surfing on a purple thing. And then, I don't know why. Like, first I didn't think the shape looked the same, but the head shape is sort of still that circular weird shape that the mecha have. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, the mecha combination looks a lot better to me than the main one. I don't know. This one just appeals to me for some reason.
It might be because of the sort of head design on the little surfer guy. Because he sits in the little throne sort of thing, and it gives the chest cavity a little bit more design to it instead of just being like Shinobi Maru's face.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like an actual chess piece with that piece in it, at least according to the sketch here. So.
Yeah, it's just, it works for me. I don't know. I like it.
I dig it. I like purple mech, so I like purple things.
I think we're in for a fun year in terms of when all the toy scans come out, because, like, everything is different.
Uh-huh.
So I'm, like, looking forward to just each of the different reveals.
Our mecha lineup right now is a little ninja, a dragon, a dump truck, a dog, a bullet train, a bison-shaped ATV, an elephant, a UFO, and a shark submarine surfboard thing. So we've got an interesting lineup, to say the least.
You know, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, unfortunately, we don't have any sort of confirmation about, like, UFO or Surfer or Pound or whatever the elephant's called. Like, no hints toward a full-on ninja menagerie, but I'm really hoping. I want this to be the year that the clusterfuck returns.
Yeah, honestly. Like, Tokyujiru was so close. Like, if they had just made Theo a little bit better, and they would have all been together, it would have been awesome. But I just wanted to mention that, because I totally forgot about UFO. First, I want the Bandai to do Ninjinger now, so we can do a UFO Ranger, and then a purple Surf Guy Ranger. No, but anyway.
I feel like the purple Surf Guy Ranger would just be a rehash of RJ.
That would be perfect. See, that's why he was on set. He was in talks about the purple thing. He got a thing from Saban about the role of the purple thing guy. But anyway, back when the ninja stuff was first leaking, I got several comments on, I think, AskFM Twitter, and maybe one on YouTube. But I talked to like at least three different people about how they kept telling me the UFO was unadaptable. Now, I understand the UFO is a very strange choice for a ninja series. Ninjas are making a lot of strange choices, but I don't see how a UFO is unadaptable. Aliens are pretty mainstream here. There's all kinds of space shows and alien movies. I loved aliens when I was little. Kids know about aliens, heroes or villains. It's like it's a main thing.
How is a UFO unadaptable?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to figure out. It's like
of all the things to pick from the show that's unadaptable, you pick the UFO?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, I know it seems out of place in a ninja series, but in terms of trying to sell alien stuff to kids, I do not see an issue whatsoever. Maybe I'm not hip anymore. Maybe I'm like Tom at that prom when he found out no one knew who Sheezy was. I'm like, oh, kids don't know who UFOs are anymore. But, I mean, it's pretty mainstream. I mean, I'm down with any music. Wow. I meant to mention that a long time ago, and I just thought about the UFO.
And then finally at the very bottom here is the Shinobi Shuriken series, apparently in May. They will be releasing all five of the main Ninjas shurikens separately. So, I mean, obviously, you would have Reds already if you bought the sword, which I don't see why you would buy these if you didn't have the sword. But I guess if you really liked Yellow and we wanted his shuriken, you could just buy Yellow. This is the only way to get Pinks, since Pink is not included in any of the other toys. This is the only way to get Pink, so that one's bound to sell pretty fast, I would imagine. But if you wanted blue and didn't want to buy the frog gun, you can wait for this one. Same thing with the claw thing. I forgot what it was called.
Claw. Are you talking Toy Story version or Liar Liar?
Both.
Okay.
For yellow or the buckle for white or whatever, you can wait for these versions. There's nothing on here that says, at least that I can read and comprehend, that the sounds will be different, or if there'll be an exclusive sound or like a function missing or anything like that. Nothing is said as far as I'm concerned. There is lights and there is sounds. I know that much. So they're about as standard to the toys as you can get. So it's a really neat alternative to having to buy the toys. You have to wait longer, obviously.
The alternatives.
We'll have all four of these by the end of...
I love the way he says it.
By the end of March. So you'd have to wait till May to pick up the other characters if you didn't want to pick up the weapons. But it's a neat option, I think.
And then you can buy multiples of the Gold Rangers cheese one.
Yeah, I'm sure that one will probably get sold separately, too. I don't see why not. So if it is, I'm gonna buy multiples, yes. At least one to carry around with me like a small child. Like my Ovirapu Judenshi or Dream Vegas. I always carry some. And we actually, they released this weekend, the first batch of toys, and the Japanese reviewers have their hands on the toys already. And I checked out a couple of videos. They're very reminiscent of Loxeeds. And that excites me quite a bit. With lights, cool. Sounds, all independent. Attach it to something to make more sounds. It's very Loxeed-esque, but with shurikens instead of locks. So I'm looking forward to it. I think, like I said, even if the show's kind of crap, I'm really digging the toys so far. And I think it's going to be one of those shows I just really, really like. So even if I hate it, I'll like it. It's a really weird...
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I'm excited, though. I mean, I'm looking... The suits are just, like, amazing. It's like, so intriguing. And at the very least, at the beginning of New Sentai, there's always excitement. I was sort of lukewarm on a lot of the Tokyuger stuff, but I was still as excited as shit when the trains arrived at my house. It's like a little kid when they bought the first Power Rangers toys.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else.
That's all for the toys, and that's really all for the news. One thing I do want to mention is that Star Ninja, the Sentai Hero figure for Star Ninja was in there too. It's obvious, but whatever. All of his stuff comes out in May, and Courier Gold's stuff came out in May. Tokyo Rokugo's stuff came out in June, like most Six Rangers. So is that a sign that we might get more?
I hope so.
Rangers in Ninja? I hope so. I think it would be neat. I don't know. If they do, I kind of hope it kind of goes the route of Kyoryuger. And all of a sudden, we all just get, like, all of a sudden a Televicon scan of a green Ninja for the elephant.
No green.
Or something like that.
I'm just kidding. I know.
Just like we did for Kyoryu Cyan. So I think it's an exciting time.
I'd like to see that. I said last week I want to see more Rangers. Like, I'd like for them to, in general, mix up the number of Rangers. Like, I liked that. Like, we had a good stretch where it was, like, between, like, Ninja Storm and Mystic Force. It was kind of random. We had, like, weird number starts and weird colors, and, like, there'd be seven Rangers and, like, eight. Like, I just liked when you didn't know what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with that.
That'd be cool. And especially since the Ninja suits are so cool, I'd love to see more of them. But I think the only other news is the Dino Charge ratings are in, and it's thanks to us fandom for promoting the show to ourselves. I just want to point that out. Everyone's like, great job, everyone. I'm like, yeah, you told yourselves about it, and we got ratings.
I'm going to get on my soapbox for a little bit here. I mentioned this on Twitter, and it's not like I don't want people to be excited about the show, because, I mean, I'm really fucking excited for Dino Charge, especially after that first episode. But doing these things like, oh, make sure you tune into the first episode of Dino Charge and only on Nick at 12, whatever it airs in your time zone, weird wibbly wobbly and stuff. I know you're trying to be like this white knight to the franchise, but, or black knight or Mexican knight, whatever you are. But you're
Asian American knight, smaller. It's just a fact.
Oh god. But anyway, I forgot where I was going with that. You're not doing a whole lot, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. I had to bring it up.
It's like I get being excited, and I get projecting that excitement. But to say, I'll make sure you turn in at this time and this station, unless you have this like weird influx of child followers on Twitter, which I'm pretty sure most people don't, because I think Twitter might have an age restriction. I don't remember. Most people don't like it, but regardless, unless you have like child Twitter people, you're effectively accomplishing nothing, because you are telling all those people that follow you, which are probably Power Ranger fans, that know of Dino Charge and when it will start, because every fucking outlet didn't shut up about it. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
So while it might be a great feeling to go, I'm promoting the franchise, you're promoting it to the other people that... It's like if you were in a crowd of people that were like chanting something, and then you walked a few steps forward and then turned to face them and started chanting the same thing at them.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that.
It's essentially like promoting into a mirror. It's like leaving a sticky note for yourself in the morning that says, watch Dino Charge, and then going to watch it. It's like, exactly what you said are my feelings. That's why I had to bring it up. Like, even one tweet would be okay, but some people are incessant about it. It's like so obnoxious. I'm like you said, only the people that follow you are going to really see this. I mean, you can see other people's tweets, but you have to search it out. So if someone doesn't know about Dino Charge already, they're not going to be searching for the Dino Charge hashtag. So it's pointless. It's just, and that's not what caused any sort of, it wasn't really a spike, but it did good. It definitely wasn't from promoting the show to yourselves.
Right.
But it's just one of those obnoxious little fandom things that gets on my nerves.
I mean, like, if you're excited about the show and you want to get people hyped for the show that might follow you and might not be as hyped, I mean, it's great to give out a tweet every now and then, or do a giveaway or something to drum up hype or whatever. But, I mean, sitting there chanting, oh, it starts now, it starts in 12 days or 11 days, you're not a...
Oh, that's my least favorite, especially leading up in minutes, 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Oh my God, I'm going to smack you in 2 minutes. Where's your address?
So there's other ways to drum up hype than chanting to the chanters.
Pretty much. Her daughter is an idiot. Her daughter is an idiot. I'm just going to comment with that every time someone promotes it from now on.
So I will step down from that from now on. Until someone else makes me angry or whatever.
Good. I need to get my soap out of there, Ryan. God. That's where I keep my soap. Get it, soapbox.
Here you go.
Soap.
Here's your L'Oreal.
Hygiene. How L'Oreal. How dare you? How dare you?
Maybelline? Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. Close. Soap banter. Anyway. That really is it for the news.
That it is.
Now it's time for...
I sense movement in the force. Guess not.
Nope. I heard a coo earlier, but I think that was the baby. Or Kevin. I don't know. His life.
Now it's time for superhero time.
Time. Sorry. This is a really funny way to say it.
This would be Tokyo's finale, but terrorism happened.
Thanks, terrorism. Ruin it for us again.
So we are on the Tokyo episode 46. Did you watch it, Dawson?
Yes.
Awesome.
I watched it in normal speed.
Oh,
I know exactly what Willow felt like when she stopped using magic. No, but honestly, it wasn't that bad because it was like, you know, a good episode. It wasn't watching the Wig episode at normal time speed.
Speaking from someone who did that, it's not a great feeling, and it's not my happiest moment of my life.
Yeah. It's 11 minutes I'm not getting back.
I've done a lot of stupid things, but...
Watching that Wig episode.
That was probably the top.
I mean, at least the Abba Ranger one was good, because it had Wacker Wilson in it, and he's the greatest Toku character of all time. Actually, he was called something different. It was like... I almost feel like it was Barry Bonds or something. That's not right. But Wacker Wilson's way better from our version. We adapted him way better. He was in the finale. Sorry. Like, he made a phone call to somebody in the finale. I was like, holy shit. Anyway, I cannot stop.
Before we talk about anything, I want to talk about how much I really want a toy of the Super Dark Planet Robo. Because that looked cool.
I'm still sad I didn't get the other ones.
It's honestly pretty expensive now, too.
I know, it's stupid. It's always the stuff you decide to skip, like the Gaim figure arts. Well, I actually got most of the stuff I wanted, but I kind of wanted Shin Zangetsu, but now he costs as much, if not more, than those Tokyo Robos. But anyway, I really want a toy.
Are weird.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. But I really want a toy of the black Tokyo Ichigo suit. Just cause
I wouldn't mind a toy of Zed while we're at it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Like, I wish Sentai figure art took off. I would love Zed. I would like figure arts for a lot of the Tokyo villains. I'd buy a Swartz and a Penguin guy. You know, the guy with the big nose. I don't know his name, but I like his design. Yeah, him. I wouldn't buy Grita, though. I imagine, like, if I bought a Grita plush, it would just haunt my house.
I wonder if they make that. I don't think they do.
God, don't give me any ideas. But it was definitely a good episode. Like I said, I watched it at normal time speed. I didn't notice it at all. I mean, like, that I didn't feel bored, because we're getting in the finale, and the whole last batch of episodes have been pretty damn good. Tokijir might not have always been strong, but it's ending pretty damn strong.
Yeah, like I said, it's definitely a very Ghost Seizure-esque thing. It starts out okay, and then is... what? And then it ends really cool.
I was going to say, if I recommend a series, I recommend binge-watching instead of watching as it goes. But there's no other choice now, so why would I even say that? Like, I recommend you going back into the past and watching it weekly. But it's one of those things where I wish I knew in advance. Like, both that and Ghost Seizure, while they probably still won't be very high on my list, they are a lot more enjoyable when you watch them, well, 2x speed, but, like, at your own leisure in various batches. It makes everything a lot better. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this week was good. The kids did remember because...
they looked at a picture?
Yeah.
The photo evidence. They're like, well, we can't deny this one. Like, those grown-ups are obviously us.
Well, you know what first tipped him off is the extra candy. You know what got me about that? Who the hell brings five... if it was like a candy bar, even then, I'm eating more candy than that. But if it was a candy bar, who the hell brings one piece of taffy or whatever the hell it was? Who the hell? Like, are you that poor? I mean, I know you're kids, but still... Like, if I were bringing that kind of candy to friends, I would bring a whole bag. Like, this is good. We need to talk about this for at least 45 minutes. No, an hour. But, like, I thought that was funny. Like, that they would just bring five little candies. I can't try to remember their names. Conductor. I almost want to call him owner. And not girl from Deno. Yeah, sorry. But they were like, hey, why don't we leave a picture? Because it'll help them remember. But at the very least, if they don't remember, it'll freak them out. I was kind of torn on that because I felt it was kind of spitting in the face of what Wright was trying to do. But at the same time, they had to remember somehow, and it made for a good scene. For the most part, I thought that their turning back into kids and him leaving and then them going back was mostly well done. It was mainly like nitpicks. So, words.
Brilliant.
Waving my hands around, specific opinion on things. I enjoyed it. I mean, I thought it was kind of convenient and everything, but still, it made for a good scene of them turning back and seeing the picture and probably freaked them out.
I'm not sure how the whole aging thing works exactly, but...
Imagination.
They remembered, and they're like, oh, we're adults again.
And they drew on the back of pictures and just signed in to the... Signed in? They signed in. Lieutenant, perform the login ceremony. It was mainly for a couple minutes, but when they were kids and they're talking about getting back, I got this really weird, like, Beetleborgs vibe. Because they're kids. Yes. And I'm just thinking about how unique Tokijir is for that. I mean, they're kids. Like, we've had, like, Kiba Ranger and stuff, but this is a full team of kids. I mean, they grew up, but that's a really cool thing they did. I'll probably highlight that a lot when we do our wrap-up, but I really liked that idea and when they decided to stay older earlier, which I never got to talk about because I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth. Did I brush my teeth already today? I don't remember. This is usually the time.
Now is totally the time to talk about that.
Yeah, sorry.
The mech battle between the Super Darkliner Robo and Build Dio was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
Like it helps a lot that I love Build. It's probably my favorite design out of the core TV.
Yeah.
But it worked. It worked for me. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, it looked like it got pretty badly damaged. I wonder if it's even going to be usable next time. Because usually they go for those, final
probably
combos.
Probably not. I imagine they're probably going to just use Teo with...
Theo. Oh, yeah, with all the individuals?
Yeah.
Oh, I could see that. Okay. Never mind. Don't listen to me. But so that makes sense. But yeah, it was definitely a good mech battle. I'm glad to see Wright letting Akira help him, because it made no sense last week why he wouldn't take his help. He didn't want the kids to be infected by the darkness, but not him. He's already just filled with it. He scoops it out of his hat daily. But yeah, I was glad he helped. It's a small little moment, but I liked when he made Wright promise not to ditch him with the pinky promise that Takati taught him. I like small little moments like that and part of Akira's stories that I enjoyed. I like Akira. He was fun. He was, like, depressingly fun. It's like me. That's why we identify so well.
It's sad because I was going to say, like you.
Hive mind.
Castle Terminal turned into a big white robot.
Yeah, it's... for some reason...
Looks like a crab.
My darkness looks like crabs. I had a bad sexual experience, right? I'm telling you. I was looking for The Shining... the movie, and then I wound up in a whorehouse, and she's like, "The Shining's in my pants." He's like, "All right," and then I got crabs. I took it too far. I had this elaborate thing. For some reason, I thought, which could maybe still happen, but I thought that whatever was going on up there had to do with Greta somehow. Like maybe he did something to Greta that turned her into something. I don't know, but her death was so vague.
It's still possible. I mean, I get the feeling she's either alive. Or a part of the castle terminal or something. She's not gone. I can almost guarantee that. Because it would have been a death they showed on screen. Not just this vague death-sounding noise and he walks around the corner. Like, there's a reason for them doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
I can't really pinpoint what it is or what she's going to do. Or if she's going to, stab... Marge Simpson in the back.
I still keep expecting Swartz to stroll up just because everyone keeps dying and coming back. But yeah, I think that she probably has more to do. I don't know if it has anything to do with his giant crabs, but I just, for whatever reason, the vibe it was giving me, the way he kept looking up there, and then they were talking about what happened to Greta at the same time. But I don't know. Let's see what else to talk about in this episode. Wright kept repeatedly saying that he can't see victory. That's the captivity of negativity. He needs to go work at Gate and learn about this. To be fair, I'd be very negative. I would just go in and just lie down. All right, just kill me. I'm done.
It's funny because he's such a positive person all the time.
Because he's always the one to say, "I can see your last stop."
Right. It's interesting to see how much the darkness has affected him over the course of the show. Even though it didn't really start doing anything until the last couple episodes, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to see. He's like, this is the one time that he couldn't visualize himself winning, and then he lost.
Yeah. So, it definitely was a good thing, I guess, that Wagon and not Owner sort of planted the failsafe of the Tokyo's coming back, because he wouldn't have been able to win, and if they hadn't done that, then everything would have been fucked.
Yeah, Akira would have been by himself, and Build Dio, crumbled to death, so...
They would have had to kidnap 5 more kids. It would have been just a nightmare. It's worse than Zordon. But, yeah, so... I lost my train of thought now. I was going to say about the build-up to the darkness. It did start kind of soon. It definitely could have started earlier. But I have to say, this is the one thing, probably the only thing I would give Tokuger credit over Gaim. They started something like that earlier than Baron. I know that we talked about it a lot, and it could make sense after you talked about it for like 45 minutes, but Baron's shift was still a lot more sudden than this one. It's not like it was a complete character shift, but it was more of a darkness, whatever. But
yeah, I would certainly agree that Kaito wasn't really a character shift, much less a... Thanks, Bella. A character push. Like, it took his character and just, like, pushed it all the way to the extreme where they needed him to be by that point in the show.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like Tokyo just... I mean, it's a totally different situation, but in terms of something like that happening, I felt they started at least earlier.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Like, I like Gaim so much that still just bothers me that Tokyo just totally decided to chop people up. That's not what he did, but, you know, so weird. Anyway... it was a good episode. I liked it. I'm looking forward to the finale. I'm glad that Tokyo is going to end on a high note.
Yeah, I would at least have a really crappy show that ended well than a really crappy show that just stayed really crappy, because at least we can have some sort of enjoyment out of it and like watch these last couple of episodes and go, you know what, that was good. Instead of like this constant week after week of... just, oh, God. Bella, what?
I know we hated on it a lot, but I can't remember our specific conversations about the last batch, but I think Forze was a show we didn't care for so much that we never... I mean, the finale episodes were more entertaining than I recall, but I don't remember...
To me, Forze still didn't end on a high note.
Yeah, I mean, they were more entertaining.
The ending episodes were more fun, I think, but I think that's going to happen in almost any show, just because the finale battles are always a lot more interesting, but it still ended very poor to me.
Yeah, like, it didn't get me excited. Like, Tokyo just still doesn't get me excited on the level of like a Sentai or Rider that I love, but I still feel invested in it more than I did in something like Forze.
Yeah,
it's like they had several episodes like that throughout the series that weren't finale, but there's like these moments in Tokyuja where you could see this glimpse of how cool it could have been. That's like this last batch of five episodes. Mm-hmm. And then you get really confused because, like, I was just talking about that episode where they decided to be kids or to be adults, which I loved. It was like this whole half of the episode was great, and then they fought a monster that makes you sit down. It was like, it was Tokyuja, like, that episode is Tokyuger in an episode. It's like these awesome ideas that I love, and then all of a sudden you have this dumb monster. I know Sentai's gonna have dumb monsters, but I hate when they have the dumb monsters and I hate to use a word, but serious episodes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, in like plot pivotal episodes are using what was arguably the second dumbest Tokyuger villain.
Yeah. It's like, I hate using that word serious, but it's like...
Oh, yeah, I do too.
There's times, even in, like, kids' shows or whatever, where you want to take the situation seriously. I talked about that in Drive, in the mock episode, where almost everything about that episode had not had me, or took away any way I was taking of the stakes being high. It was just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tokyuger. Next week is final episode and wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
Train's making its final stop. And then we're going to go run off with some ninjas that don't give a fuck about being stealthy. All right. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Banjo, time for Drive. I want to start the discussion by saying how funny it is that I, like, made a point of asking last week if the mystery was wrapped up, and then they said, nope, fuck you, Dawson. And then they added, like, three more layers to the mystery. Am I 3-8-ing two, probably? But I thought that was kind of funny. This episode, overall, I thought was pretty okay. I didn't have too many problems with it. I actually kind of liked that I thought that the, like, normal mystery of the week was wrapped up, and then they all of a sudden opened up more to it. I was glad that Rina wasn't under the spell, and there was actually like several little mini twists to it.
Yeah, and I think they pulled it off really well, all things considered. Being Drive and being less invested in most of the characters, it still wasn't fantastic, but I think this was probably one of, in terms of, I have no idea where I'm going with that. What I wanted to say was that it was one of the more enjoyable Drive episodes, I think,
yeah.
Particularly in terms of the detective side of things.
Yeah.
Since we haven't actually had a good detective episode in a while. And it was nice to have a case that was more or less kind of closed, reopened, involved more, had twists, had turns. And I think that was probably the most interesting part. I really liked... I like getting backstory on Rena, too, because these stupid fucking people in the goddamn special unit, whatever the hell it's called.
They're so obnoxious.
Like, they're such one-dimensional characters. And, I mean, yeah, Rena had the thing where she was also the tech developer for Drive stuff. So she kind of had an extra, like, half dimension, so she was like 1.5D.
That's such a weird saying. Castley's half sexual.
But, I mean, it's great that she's got a, I don't want to say fleshed out backstory, because it's only one episode of content, but it's enough to make me appreciate more appreciate her more as a character. So we're still sitting on three special victims unit. We'll just go with that. Coming out of Drive SVU.
Special Remage unit.
So they're still crap. The old guy's gone right now. I don't know where he went. Next episode looks to hopefully flesh out the lieutenant's character. I don't know any of their names.
See, now you're me with everything else.
I call Chief Guy, Lieutenant Guy, and Creepy Guy.
Which one is the Creepy Guy, the one that's from Tokyo Drift?
Yeah.
Okay,
the ones with the dolls and shit.
It's the same guy. I'm telling you. But, you know, one thing I did find funny is in the flashbacks they used her for college Rena. I'm not saying she's old, but when you're trying to imagine her as college person, she does look old.
Kamen Rider does that a lot with characters trying to pass off the same actor as like a college version, and
it can work sometimes.
Sometimes it can work, but
like if you were to give me a backstory about Kiriko when she was in like college or even late high school, I could totally buy it.
Yeah,
but something about Rena, like I said, it's not like I look at her, I'm like, man, she's 50.
It's her facial features, honestly. I'm not saying that she's ugly or anything, but I don't know if it's just, like, dimples or what, but right around her mouth, she's got, like, two lines that are kind of like dimple wrinkle things that
dinkles.
Make her...
Rena and her
I wasn't
dinkles,
gonna go with dinkles, but we'll go with that.
Dinkleberg!
That kind of give her the impression of being more mature, and so when you try to revert back to college and she's got those same facial features except her hair's shorter... It doesn't grasp that same sort of thing, but...
Yeah, and the guy, too. He didn't translate... They didn't give fucks about him looking older or younger. What else was I going to say? Oh, I want to mention that thing, which you mentioned on Twitter, was the annoying part where they had the villains doing that annoying cutaway gag.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to remind you. But I want to mention it because it is... The cutaway gags are annoying as is... But correct me if I'm wrong, that's the first time they've ever done it with the villains, right?
I don't remember it ever happening with the villains in any Rider show. Okay. It's happened with the Rider before, it's happened with the secondary characters, but I don't remember it being subjected to the villains until now. And I'm not saying it's all bad, because I kind of like the weird love triangle between Brain, Heart, and Medic, because Brain totally wants to have butt sex with Heart.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying. So I kind of think that concept is sort of funny, but it didn't have to be subjected to the visual. I just really hate that gag a lot.
Well, what bothered me about it was
makes
how
me think
Brain...
my player is stuttering.
What bothered me about it was how Brain was portrayed, because, like I said, I might be wrong because I just can't remember a lot of stuff sometimes, but... Brain's kind of this more calculating character, and he was in this really weird, he was almost acting like the guy that's from Tokyo Drift, and he's never really acted like that before, and it was just so sudden. Like, I don't mind that weird little dynamic, but he is kind of the more cold, the creepiest of them, I would say. And it was just really weird to see him behaving like that, even if it was a couple seconds. It just really felt out of place. It was really strange. It didn't, like, ruin the episode completely for me, but it was definitely a choice I wouldn't have done. It's like one of those things where I talked about not being able to take something seriously.
Right.
Anything? Oh, the annoying guy that made mock stuff, who is he's like a combination of Master Fant for some reason for me, and he's like a Sons of Anarchy guy. And he's the guy, he's the cock meat sandwich guy from Harold and Kumar. some people might know what I'm talking about, but that's who he is. You could definitely see that he made the mock driver using some of the phrases. Here's my question. He came here on his motorcycle to fix Dead Heat. Why isn't it fixed? And then they're acting like it is fixed.
Is it supposed to time out? No, I feel like it's probably supposed to time out, yes. I don't know if it's because... Well, Mach himself has a time limit of some sort.
Yeah.
We don't know a whole lot about it. But Mach himself does have a time limit, so I don't know if it was just a mixture of the fact that Dead Heat was being used with Mach and he reached his limit. So I don't know if that's going to happen to Drive 2. But it... I hope it's not a everyday occurrence.
Yeah.
Like, after every battle, we have to have whoever isn't being affected do a finishing attack on the one that is to
make
them stop, or have Kiriko kick them in the face, or whatever it is.
Yeah, because, like, and that was another weird choice, too, is the way they, like, freeze-framed her. It was another weird, like, cinematic choice that bothered me. Like, Drive bounces so back and forth between, like, normal, a little dramatic, and comedic that it's, like, jarring.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it's a show that never understands what it wants to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't know if it wants to be serious or make a joke. Or close the creepy door.
That sounds like me.
Or what? It never knows. And I think that's one of the biggest issues I have with it, is if it's not consistent. If it was like funny humor consistently, I'd be a lot more okay with it than funny humor, serious, 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 funny humor, serious, 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 serious moment while still doing funny humor. For whatever reason.
You know, a show that was really good at balancing was Kyoryuger.
Kyoryuger and double in some circumstances to being like the perfect blend to me. But Kyoryuger, like, definitely hit it completely.
Yeah, like, if I had to pick the perfect example of like how to balance it, is Kyoryuger, I would say, on the whole, is a much lighter show. But when it needed to have you take this moment seriously, you took that moment seriously. It's probably the best I've seen at that. But just going really quick back to Dead Heat, you see what I mean, though, how it was confusing in terms of, like, him fixing it? Because, you know, Drive was fucked up, and then he's like, oh, I fixed it. And then Mach fucked up, and then they stopped him, and then they're like, thanks for helping. I'm like, wait, he didn't fix shit. So you see how it was confusing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I was just making sure it wasn't me. Like, maybe I missed something, maybe something was lost in translation. It just seemed funny, like, they're thanking him for nothing. He did not fix anything. And, like, didn't he tell Krim to shut up at one point? I'm like, dude, the guy's a belt. Be nice.
Yeah.
You still have a body.
Like, I love how that wasn't even, like, acknowledged. He's just like, shut up, Krim. And it's like, dude, he's a belt. Have you seen him since he's a belt? I mean...
Have you seen him since he's a belt? Sentences that only would happen in Toku. Like, I really want them to sometime go back, and I wanted to do, like, an episode... That's about the backstory of everything. Because I really liked the episode. It was a while back. I think it was in the Dossum and Aerosol in the Morning episode where they went into the backstory of Krim. And I want to see an episode that explains to me, like, how this guy's related and how him and Krim... Like, just, I want to know everything because there's stuff there I'd like to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that episode with the Krim backstory. And then, like, Mach's whole thing was just a huge... slap in the face retcon, which is not like it's a huge deal, but I hate stuff like that where all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, Well, yeah, because it just all of a sudden came out of nowhere. Like, oh yeah, there was a guy above me. Don't even worry about it. It's just, I just want to see like an episode that makes it feel more connected.
Got it.
For me, but it wasn't a terrible episode. There was a few things like it's kind of like every week Drive either completely disappointed me or it's okay. So at least it's okay.
Drive is that show that is enjoyable enough to keep my interest and keep me watching every week, but I still have problems with it, and yeah. I will still moderately complain about it. It's a really weird relationship, me and Drive.
Yeah, like, I feel like our opinions, like, kind of teeter-totter, kind of like the show does on its tone. Mm-hmm. So it's in a really weird, like, area where it kind of fluctuates. Like, throughout the episode, my, like, opinion of it fluctuates between scenes. I hope it finds its rhythm, like, around a little while from now, halfway through. How are we now? A quarter? I don't know how time works.
What episode was this? Episode 17?
17. So, yeah.
24 is generally our halfway point, so.
So, by there, you gotta find something, man. Commit to a bit.
Like, I mean, there's still definitely room to turn it around and find what it wants to be.
I really want them to wrap up Chase's stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of... we know... It'll be wrapped up by April.
Yeah.
April, right? I think so. Yeah, April. Andy. Because Formula's in March, and Chaser's in April, so.
Yeah, Chase's whole thing frustrates me, because I like so much about it, but it was handled so cliche that it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, now it's time for not Dino Charge. Because we have to wait. I thought it was going to be Dino Charge time with Kevin, but...
That was the plan, except...
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
I think he liked it.
He did say he liked it, and Kaylee liked it, and Natalie
cried. I bet the baby liked it. No, she liked it. She was overcome with emotion.
I got it.
Because she was like, I can't believe Power Rangers is back. And then Natalie's one of those hardcore Super Megaforce haters, so it's kind of tough to be around her sometimes, but... She's cool.
She was like, I can't believe it's not butter.
So, now it's time for...
I think it's more surprising we haven't heard a peep from that side.
Yeah, not even a baby.
Like, outside of, like, some breathing that might be him. I don't know if it's him or you. And some rustling. There hasn't been a peep.
I love peeps. They're so good. Like, marshmallowy sugar. It's like, let's coat marshmallows in sugar because they're not sugary enough. Get it? Because peeps? Anyway.
Oh my god.
But now it's time for...
Ramble time.
Yeah. The third time's the charm.
Hell yeah, it is.
Turtles is not on until like March something. I don't know. Kiefer is like the turtle reporter.
This
so I don't want to hear...
Obnoxious as hell.
I don't want to hear any complaining about the Power Rangers hiatus, seriously.
Hold up the fuck on. They came back for 4 weeks, was it? A month? What they came back for? Yeah. They finally get their ass back in New York, and then they stop showing episodes again?
Yeah. At the very least, I want, if they're going to do these random breaks, I'd like them to narratively make sense. It's really weird. So we don't have that to talk about. I don't know about Pokemon still. I haven't even been keeping up with the Japanese episodes that much as I used to.
No, it came back this week.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it was really weird. I don't really watch Saturday shows live. I mean, I'm going to try to watch Dino Charge live every week, but like Pokemon stuff usually airs too early. I don't bother. But like my DVR caught one episode, and there was... like one or two other episodes on, and a Mega Evolution special or something.
I had no idea.
I don't know how it all worked, honestly. But a lot of new episodes aired, basically, from what I understand. My DVR only caught one, and then apparently, my buddy Steve kind of keeps me in the loop with Pokemon anime episodes.
Classic Steve.
Hi, Steve. That
is he mentally challenged?
he is now. I'm sorry, bud. That I what was I what the
Pokemon.
Fuck was I talking about?
Apparently, Son Steve.
Of a bitch.
Steve is your Larry.
Oh, that. Oh, you got it. That next week is one of the episodes that was on this week, but labeled as new. So I was kind of thinking it might have been a mistake on Cartoon Network's part.
That's possible.
And knowing Cartoon Network, that absolutely is possible. So I have no idea.
I'll have to check see if it's on demand.
I watched the one that was my DVR recorded. There's a new theme song. It's as typical as ever.
Is it like just another remix of the first theme?
No, it's a whole new song. It's still got that same like be a winner hero message. I think
that's so perfect because that's exactly what it is. Be a winner hero message.
I think the song's called Be a Hero or something. I'm like, didn't we do this? But
they should have just cycled through remixes of all the other themes. Orange Island's next, man. Orange Island's next.
I would have been fine with that. That would have been neat.
It would have been weird when they did like a Pokemon Johto theme for the third XY series. Pokemon Johto!
Johto! Oh.
XY!
Pokemon Johto!
Johto. She's a hope, Johto.
Got it.
I'll have to check up on demand, but I guess I'll have to start keeping up with that again. Just, I don't usually. I'm really bad about setting series recordings. I tend to just every week go in and record everything that I'm going to be watching that week, like I'm an animal. So I don't know why, so I'll have to get back on that. Something I forgot I was gonna say now. Something specific opinion. Oh, I was just, this is completely random, but I was wondering. I wonder if May's gonna come back at any point, simply because of the Ruby and Sapphire promotion.
God, I hope so.
That would be great. I hate to be like one of those "Hey, I hope someone comes back" person, but May was probably my favorite female protagonist, and I'd like to see her back, and I'd like to see them do a little bit of Hoenn stuff like they did for Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, after our nonsense talk, we literally talked about, like, nothing. we didn't really talk about a specific show. We talked about show happenings. And Steve. Shout out. but speaking of Steve, the Flash, I'm sure there was a guy named Steve that works on the show.
Probably.
Flash was really good this week.
Yep, Flash was great this week.
We got much more in your face about Ronnie now that I know he's a half middle-aged man and how they're handling this. And I actually, I want to talk about this in a minute. We'll talk about the bulk of the episode first, but I did a little bit of research on him and Reverse Flash. Reverse Flash is Knucking Futz. We'll talk about that in a minute. But seriously, his backstory is stupid. One of the videos I watched, it said that in the comic, or at least the one, I didn't watch the whole thing about it, but whatever version he was talking about, the dude in the video was saying that in that one, Ronnie's the one that's in charge, and then the scientist guy's like a floating head around him. Like he talks, he's like a, you know, voice in his head.
That was probably Danny's intention in our fan art.
So that's what he said, and it was funny because the video I watched was made when Robbie Amell was announced as Firestorm, so no knowledge of what was going to happen, and he just kept saying, he said like three times that he's going to assume they're not even going to go with the split personality thing. Like, oh my god, lawyered. But so that was kind of funny. But so they went the opposite route here, with scientist guy being in charge and Ronnie being locked away. Well, he's walked away.
He's walked away.
But it's definitely a very interesting character.
Oh, yeah.
Now, because before I knew this, because I'm apparently casual, he was just like, oh, he's like, you know, the Human Torch. But it makes him a lot more interesting, for sure. It's definitely a very interesting way to approach a metahuman from what we've seen on the show, too.
Mm-hmm. I think he plays it well, too.
Yeah.
Robbie Mel's doing a pretty good job at the mannerisms of someone quite a bit more intellectual and quite a bit older.
Yeah.
While still being himself, obviously. So I think he's doing a pretty good job on it. Yeah. I'm curious to see if, since I don't read a whole lot of future spoiler things, I am.
You are way interesting.
I am an interesting person sometimes. I'm interested. What is wrong with me? I'm interested.
He just really wants, he's like trying to hypnotize you. I'm interesting. I'm interesting. I'm interesting.
I'm interested to see if anything changes. Like, if...
Like, after he blew up?
I don't think they're actually going to split, obviously, but...
No.
If, Ronnie's going to be up front at some point, or if it's going to be, like, a swap or whatever they're going to do.
Wife swap. That's what they have to do. They have to do that. They one has a wife, one has a fiancé. They got to do wife swap at one point.
That'd be an interesting sort of...
I would choose Caitlyn. I'd be like, oh, man, I got this young body. I don't want to be with his wife. I'd want to be with Caitlyn. That's what I would do.
Kills the other wife.
We don't need to kill her. Jeez, Brian. You just dump her because she's old. You don't kill her. That sounds mean. She's not as old as Rena, apparently. No. No, but... I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm going to assume at some point... Ronnie will come forward, even if it's for a few minutes. I imagine it'll probably be kind of a struggle for a while. I don't see him being cured or anything, or
right.
necessarily. Like, I don't know what their plans are. Like, if he's going to pop up reoccurring, or will he become semi-regular, or eventually regular. I don't know. But
I thought he was supposed to be coming full regular. I don't know.
I imagine he'll at least be semi-regular or close to it for a little bit, but. But yeah, I think they did a good job with it. It definitely got a lot more interesting. And I was very confused, too, because when you said they were split, like before I did my little research, I thought that it was like a shift thing where like he was the guy, you know, the older guy, and then he would morph into Hobo Ronnie. Like, you know, their bodies would shapeshift. I don't know why. But I didn't know anything. Sorry. Because I was like, why is he living on the streets sometimes? So I guess he's just been wandering around.
He cleaned up good.
Yeah, he did real fast. He got like a professional haircut in the back too. Like he got styled, like gel, it's like sticking up.
Calmed down quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, they gave him that stuff for, which makes sense, those medicines used for dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah.
I have expertise about that from soap operas. But yeah, that was some good stuff, and there was actually quite a bit going on. We had a bit of a subplot with Barry and his date, which I thought was kind of amusing. But the main interesting subplot was Sisko and wow, what's the black dad's name? Tyrell. Tyrell. They were investigating. Barry's mom's death at the house where some cougar lady lives now is just flashing her boobs everywhere. But that's beside the point. And
I would like to point out that he has like the most normal name in the universe.
Oh, that's like I should know it. Wait. I can do it. Hold on. Damn it.
He's an average
Joe. Damn it. There used to be a show about that. I can't even believe it. Like, it's always, like, randomly that'll just happen to me. I think I'm getting early Alzheimer's.
That's exactly what's happening to you.
Like, I don't know how legit that whole mirror picture thing is.
I'm kind of curious about the science behind it because that sounds really cool.
Like, I could buy that. I don't think the 3D thing would happen, but I really – it's a show about superheroes, and I hate people that will scientifically dissect shows like this. Or even anything in general, even if it's a movie that's not about superheroes and they're like, oh, the science behind that doesn't add up. I'm like, well, you don't add up. Get out of my face because it's supposed to be an escape. Anyway, that really annoys me. But regardless, it was a cool way of investigating it, and they sort of got to see a little image of Reverse Flash and what I thought I saw, an image of Flash a little bit, and then they found a blood splatter like, fuck this bitch's wallpaper, and they just rip it off. They don't give a shit about her wallpaper, and they found a blood splatter. The cops sucked back then. How do they not see that? Like, oh, there's some blood over there, Sergeant. Who cares? We got the guy. Like, well, but maybe we should test it. We got the guy. And it was Barry's, which we pretty much knew he was there. Unless Dr. Wells is also future Barry and he's Reverse Flash. I don't know what they're doing. Joe, not Tyrell, told Sisko about his suspicions about Dr. Wells. I still think Dr. Wells could have been there mainly if somehow he is related to Barry, and also he could be someone that could cover up his DNA and have a false sample.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it for all intents and purposes, Wells might not have ever existed. So
yeah, so
you never really know. I mean, we know there's two Reverse Flashes right now, since Reverse Flash beat up Wells. So yeah. There's two
Reverse Flashes. Unless he was moving really fast.
that's a talent right there. He would have had to throw a punch, run, put his suit away, run back, get punched by the hand that is no longer there, run back, get the suit, repeat process. I mean, so we know that there's two Reverse Flashes, one of which is Wells, at least to some extent. When or if he's ever put on the suit is another question. And then the other one is Future Barry. So
yeah.
They're pulling a lot of it from, I think it was Flashpoint is the, not Amy
Jordan. The show with Amy. Or the Flash Rebirth.
Is that the one? I don't know.
So here's the thing. I'm going to go on a mini tangent. I watched a video, two videos about Reverse Flash. There's like a bunch of different versions. Some of them clearly don't count. Like there's one that's tied to, I forget the name of his grandson. Well, he was in Young Justice, but he's nothing to do with it. I imagine he's not going to have anything to do with it. Yeah, because it was like Impulse was Reverse Flash. So I imagine that one won't have very much to do with it. And then there was one from like the Golden Age, which I think just borrows Eddie's name as a reference. No one cares about the guy with the bucket head. But so it's like listening to this, seriously, I'm not a very smart person, but when it comes to shows I like or anything like that, I tend to apply myself more than I would in, say, school. So I tend to, you know, remember a lot of this stuff. I have like all this knowledge of General Hospital, and I can answer questions about stuff that happened when my mom was watching it that she can't even answer. But this, listening to him talk about this, this sounds crazier than a soap opera story. It's like I had a hard time following it. Like the main one was Dr. Zoom or whatever, that like was, he was a nurse Zoom, RN Zoom.
Companion that was good. Zoom.
Man Perkins, like is a fan of him, and then he wants to go meet him. So he turns himself into him and then goes to meet him, and then, whoops, I landed before I died. And then he finds out he becomes a villain. So then he becomes Flash and gets his ass sent back to the future by Wally, and then goes back to kill Barry's mom. And it was so convoluted.
The whole thing is basically more or less that
he's a super Barry's fan. And then he ended up being related.
Die, basically.
Yeah, and like Barry like undid it, but then re-undid it and made the new 52 universe. Like, it's crazy. Like, I can imagine maybe it's easier reading it, but even if I were reading comics and reading as it unfolded, it's still pretty crazy. This all made me very glad I don't read comics, and I'm just kind of a casual about the shows, because it's really kind of crazy. And then there was like this, I think, I don't know if that was the same guy, but there was one about then he ended up actually being related to Barry because he was the descendant of a secret twin. That is definitely some soap opera crap right there. But it's all very crazy. So, like, I didn't want to spoil myself, but, like, the curiosity was getting me, especially after this episode. But that is not, I think, in no way a spoiler. I think I'm getting it like they do with a lot of these. They pull elements from several different versions. So I'm willing to bet that they're going to make something cooler. It's going to be very simplified because if they followed this letter for letter, it would definitely confuse people. I think that whatever they make actually will end up being at least cooler to me because it won't be quite as convoluted.
I mean, they probably already blew everyone's mind by Future Barry being a thing. So
yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But it's kind of like The Walking Dead in that manner, is that I tend to not look up anything, but I'll look up stuff after because I want to see what they did differently, and they always put a unique spin on it. There's a couple things they follow closely. So, but yeah, I'm really interested to see what they do with it. So I'm not quite as worried about looking up spoilers when it comes to time travel stuff, just because I get a feeling they'll pull fragments of all these stories I read about and watched about, and
yeah,
add their own things to it. Because Dr. Wells, at least, even if he essentially is RN Zoom, he's a new character, so that's already a new element to it. But even if it is dumb, like a lot of the stuff I read, I'm still a huge sucker for time paradox shit like that. I think that's probably one of the most ridiculous ones I've ever heard. But the reverse flash stuff still intrigues the shit out of me because I'm just a huge sucker for anything time travel. So I'm looking forward to see what they do with it. To seeing what they do with it. Talk better. And seeing if they introduce Wally West and stuff like that. Who knows, maybe they'll introduce Impulse because he came from way far in the future and he's like, fuck, everything's fucked. Help. But the Flash stuff definitely sounds really complicated. In terms of like all the other ones I've watched various things about and researched.
To say the least.
Yeah, but it's definitely a good show. Definitely a good show.
Like this week I was just sitting there going, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a very subtle Mel Duncan reference, and all I could think about was Hornblower.
That's after Adam. I want the next CW DC comic show to be Hornblower. It will be amazing. Like that'll be the next. He'll be the next sex symbol, Hornblower. Like that just cracks me up. Like the picture we looked at just cracks me up because I could just hear it in my mind going. Where was the Mel Duncan reference?
He mentioned that he was playing at a club or whatever.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I was only caught the obvious Flame On.
Yeah.
Human Torch reference. We got sued immediately after. No. But yeah, very good stuff.
It took me a minute. I was thinking about, I was like,
yeah.
Can they do that? It's the same. No, it's not.
Oh, it was so funny. I showed I might have told the story, but I was really quickly. I showed my friend the trailer for The Flash because I was telling him how awesome it is, and he thought Flash was Marvel. It's pretty funny because he was confused because in the trailer, Ollie's in it, and he knew Arrow was DC, and then he's like, "How did he appear in there? Isn't The Flash Marvel? Like, is it because he's red? Did you think like, oh, Marvel's red colors? I get it. It's funny." Anyway,
Marvel's red colors.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Spider-Man, maybe. I don't know. Speaking of Oliver, though, Flash. Wow, great way to segue, Dawson. Arrow. I can't believe they devoted an entire episode to Abruzzi hunting down Fibonacci. This week was the week. He's like, Fibonacci, I will get you. I mean, I can't believe they devoted that kind of character development to his search for Fibonacci.
How he had shot Laurel again. I'm like, really?
I can only imagine what she was thinking. Like, she must have been thinking, son of a bitch, she literally just got up. And then he just kept saying, Fibonacci! And she's like, I'm sorry, Sarah! And he's like, Fibonacci!
I like how Roy and Oliver show up and... He's just like, you're supposed to be dead. And he kind of turns around and sort of waves his arms.
You're supposed to be dead. Oh, fuck, the plan didn't work. Everybody panic. We're never going to find Fibonacci. That was Berthi's entire storyline. He found Jesus at one point, but he just found Jesus because he thought he would help him find Fibonacci. I want to know how many people right now listening under like no Prison Break. If not, they're just like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? He just keeps saying Fibonacci and then there's laughter.
Whole story.
It's true. It's really funny. But joking about Fibonacci aside, I'm sure I'll mention it at least three more times. But I liked this episode quite a bit. A lot happened in it. It was like stuff happens the episode, especially Fibonacci. There's one. But we had sort of a huge moment with Laurel with fighting against Abruzzi, looking for Fibonacci. And then we had Thea finding out. We had douche DJ nailing Thea and then getting killed.
He more or less committed suicide.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did get shot. Not in the knee with an arrow at the shoulder.
Jack would have killed him anyway, so.
Yeah. He's like, fuck you on the face of Bo. If that was a face, I would just roll right over you with my face. But so much happened. I don't know where to start. I guess with Laurel, because the episode's called Canaries. It was really fun seeing Sarah back. but I really liked Sarah, and her death really was sort of the catalyst to what Laurel needed, but I'm still so sad that she's dead just because her character had so much more potential. Like, but I don't know what else would have set Laurel off to want to do this. Like, I suppose thinking Oliver's dead would have, but then she would have had to train even faster. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that Sarah had so much more potential. Like, it's not that I don't love Laurel as Black Canary and want to see more of her, but I kind of wish they would have coexisted. Like, Laurel could have, you know, she's a main cast member, and then Sarah could have drifted into town every now and then. But regardless, it was nice seeing her back. This is a really weird question, but when she was daydreaming her out of costume, was it just me or her eyebrows like super thick?
I have no idea, bro.
Like, I don't know what it is. It's like the eyebrows, man. I told you it was a weird question.
Well, you weren't lying.
But I thought it was it was almost a bordering on a shallow Togo fapping thing of seeing the canaries fight each other. But it was a good way of handling Laurel sort of needing to have her own identity apart from her sister. I actually thought they were going to somehow address the fact that she was going to call herself the Black Canary instead of just the Canary. Mm-hmm. I imagine they'll address that later, unless they're just going to call her the Canary. But anyway, but I thought it was a good way for sort of give a physical representation to her internal struggle. And also, I kind of like how it kind of came full circle because, you know, Abruzzi was hunting down Fibonacci in the season premiere.
There
There's
you go,
two.
Three. You made it.
Oh, damn it. No more Fibonacci's for me. He's going to stay Winners protecting him forever. Because, you know, the first episode of the season was when Sarah died. It was her last appearance, or alive. And he was the villain for that episode. So I thought it was kind of a nice full circle thing to tie it to. And also, she saw her dad. You know, because she felt guilt over lying to him, and she eventually told him, which I thought was a really well done scene. She did a really, I'm still the really way of saying it, but she did a really good job of crying. She had like she just a great delivery.
That bitch cry good.
Yeah, yes. If I was writing professional reviews, I'd put that bitch cry good. No, but she really delivered it well, and so did he. And it was really sad because he just got her back. That sucks.
Yeah.
But I thought it was well done. It was more than time for it. Oliver's more or less accepted her now, which is nice. Do you have any thoughts, Brian?
He was moderately dickish this episode.
Well, yeah. Because everyone took over without him. Like, look, you were gone 2 weeks. We're family now. And you're not part of it. We follow Roy now. He flips tables.
Tables and cars and
but
buildings.
I can see, like, he was kind of a dick, but I can see his perspective, at least in terms of Laurel, because I like her being Canary, but from like being in that world in his shoes, she's untrained. Sarah just got killed. I'm sure he doesn't want to see Laurel get killed.
Yeah, especially since she got
assassinated to her. And I think it's just his natural instinct to protect Thea, which I really like their relationship. I think they have a good brother-sister relationship. They're like the Michael and Lincoln, if they were brother and sister. And the sister suddenly jumped off buildings. I do like how that whole little time without him gave everyone a chance to step up. And we obviously have Laurel, but it kind of made Roy be a little bit more of a front character. He was like waiting outside listening to Thea have sex with that guy so he could rescue her at some point. Like, he was just ready. Like, he's like, fuck you, I'm in here. I'm gonna flip this table.
He was off already. I didn't even think
about
that. Yeah,
he was. Like, he kind of looked sad when he saw them together. He's like, oh, better go suit up and follow him. But his character, that whole thing went down awful quick. A lot quicker than I expected.
Big reveal last week and then, welp, this week.
Yeah, like, it happened very quick. Thankfully, Thea had that cyanide course. But, yeah, I mean...
I was taught that red wine is awful, and that if you give it to someone, you're actually giving them cyanide. That's what I took out of it.
I think we can agree, all wine tastes the same. She was just being April at the wine tasting. But I'm not sad at all that his character's gone.
Oh,
I thought it was an interesting twist that they made him a League of Assassins, but I did not like him at all. I think that in terms of pacing, they could have handled it a little bit better, but ultimately I'm just kind of glad it's behind us now.
Yeah.
I like the way that they did Oliver telling Thea, and I like that she didn't react like a bee.
I was totally expecting it.
Yeah, because, you know, Thea, I think, has been better in a lot of areas this season compared to previous seasons, but still, like, her constant...
She has not been better in terms of covering her midriff.
No, she has not. she does not like to hide that.
She has failed this outfit.
She has failed this outfit. That's like a Project Runway quote. her main storyline has always been to kind of exist until she finds out someone lied to her and then throw a huge bitch fit. So I was fully expecting it, so I'm glad that we didn't get that reaction. She did kind of – it seemed really strange to all of a sudden be mad at Malcolm for not telling her that she knew about Oliver instead of being mad at him for all the other horrible things.
Yeah.
And I imagine that her reaction, the bitch fit reaction I was just talking about, will happen when she finds out Malcolm made her kill Sarah, which I am going to fully support in that case.
Right.
Because that is totally warranted.
That's kind of important.
Yeah. But I do think her sudden complete distrust of Malcolm came on quickly. But I'm glad that she didn't do that to Oliver, because that would have just gotten old. And Oliver's been through enough. He got stabbed, but thankfully he had magic Campbell's soup. Good. And now he's better. But do you have anything to say else, Brian? I feel like I'm always just talking.
I agree with you 90% of the time, so I just let you talk for me.
Where's the other 10?
the few times we disagree, which okay. wasn't at all right now, apparently. I mean, I didn't catch subtle references or anything.
Fibonacci.
Not much additional happened.
There was the flashbacks to talk about a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Waterboarding fun.
They're back in Starling City again.
Yeah. I didn't even think about this until like a little while ago, but next week's going to be funny because the present day storyline is going to be on Lian Yu and the past storyline is going to be in Starling City.
Oh, shit.
It's an inverted arrow episode.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. That's fun. They're going to Starling City and then he's going to get whisked away somewhere else again, I imagine?
Yeah, I mean, we know he ends up back on an island at some point, so...
Yeah, because he looked like an old hobo.
Yeah.
In the intro to the first season.
yeah, I mean, I imagine... I think it's just for this episode, then I'll probably go back to Hong Kong. I kind of imagine, in general, I can see them maybe next year doing one more season off the island, and then I bet the last season of Flashbacks will be back on the island. That's just what I'm going to guess. I like the island stories, but I like that they got off the island and kind of expanded it.
Sliver of me wishes the flashback would stop so my mom would stop bitching.
Your mom doesn't like the flashbacks?
She gets confused.
Oh, God. It sounds like my mom.
She's like, I don't know what's present day and what's not. I have to pay attention to his facial hair and the length of his normal hair.
Well, can you tell when
really
someone
confused?
Looks...
I'm like... Mom, they're in Hong Kong.
There's a completely different supporting cast.
If there's an Asian guy there, then you know it's a flashback.
Not to mention, like, they have very clear transitions. Someone will always look off into the distance, or they'll zoom in on a lighting source, and it'll go, and then you're there. But I like the flashbacks.
Oh, I love the flashbacks.
They really supplement the story well. I like seeing, like, not only... get more development on Oliver or other characters, how they got where they are, but then also the way you're able to layer in other things like Slade and then, you know, Mayo or whatever his name is, and Shadow, not Shadow, let's call her Blade for a second, Katana. I really like them a lot. But yeah, I kind of imagine in terms of going forward.
Tatsu is her human person name.
Human person. She was on that failed show, Beware the Batman. Beware, we're being canceled. But yeah, I imagine, which I kind of hope they do, is at least one more year off the island somehow, and then he has to end up on the island at some point, so maybe like the second half at the very least will be on the island, but I bet they'll do at least one more year of island story since that's where he is. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious to see how everything circles back, because so much has happened on like how it circles back that he's on the island again and like how he decides to go back. And next week, obviously, he's back in the city. And obviously, we know he doesn't physically run into anybody, but we are going to see young Laurel, who's going to look the same as regular Laurel with probably a different wig. And Tommy, I think, is back again. I think they just really want to bring him back all the time. So they keep having him almost run into Oliver. But that should be fun. I kind of like episodes like that, and it adds more variety to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Oliver and Thea on Lian Yu, because Slade's going to be there. I'm not entirely sure. Like, I get what Malcolm said, but I don't know why they need to go back there to face their fears. Why didn't he just put him on Fear Factor? Like, he's like, you need to go to a place where to face your fears, and then it cuts Joe Rogan. Welcome to Fear Factor.
That'd be a more entertaining episode.
But I'm sure it'll be a little
just
more clear.
Just have Joe Rogan get killed by Slade Wilson.
Oh, God. If Fear Factor's going to be on Lian Yu, and Slade just slices his head off. The heads will roll joke is back. I don't even know if it got deleted. But
it did?
It did? Yeah. Okay, good. Whew. No one knows what I'm talking about. Don't look at me. There, I got him off the scent. But I imagine it'll become more clear next week when Joe Rogan gets killed. But why, like, exactly what they're going to be doing there. But I think it's really interesting to have them be there because of Slade, and because Thea will kind of get an idea of what Oliver went through. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting, I think.
Like, you've only been here 2 hours and you're already complaining.
Yeah. Thea. They certainly revisit that island a lot.
Yeah, they make good use of their wherever that's filmed.
Canada? Or yeah, it's Canada. They film like all the CW shows there. Supernatural's filmed there as well. And I want to see how Slade got out. Probably Prison Break, you know, Fibonacci.
They just let him out.
Well, yeah, because the
Oliver Oxen opens the door, chase us.
Like, what actually happened is, like, Slade found, he sat in there for like 6 months, and then he eventually like, maybe I should try the door, and then found out they didn't even lock his cage. Like, oh shit. I wonder what happened to the boomerang guy too. Is he free too? Or are they gonna open the door?
Probably not. I didn't see him in any of the pictures or clips or anything.
Maybe they'll just open the door to the jail, see Slade's out, and then just boomerang guys in the cell next to him just tossing his boomerang back and forth. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to next week. Alright.
I stand by the fact that Flero is like the best.
It really is. It's great. I can't wait to see if they do more. I know that Daniel Atkins said that Supergirl's not going to be in it, but the last thing I read, they said that it was a possibility, so I'm going to hold on to it, no matter what you say. But even if I have to watch Shaw, I'll look forward to an Adam show. And whatever else they do, I'd like to see them continue it. And it's just really great to have these. It's kind of like I said last week, the new superhero time. It's just really great to have these two back-to-back shows to look forward to every week. Well, day-to-day back-to-back, but you know what I mean.
I get it.
Completely random thought. But last week, before they thought Oliver was alive, and they're like, fuck, we need help, why didn't they just go to Barry? Barry could have ran in there and caught all the criminals in like 3 minutes. I know that they weren't planning another crossover, but logically that's what I would have done. Hey, do we know a guy that can just run into the Glades and just tie everyone up for us? No, we don't. We don't know anybody, actually. He's on a date right now, so he can't even make it. Thought I was just thinking about that. But speaking of Barry, Parks and Rec, he was on it. He didn't catch him, though, because he ran through it.
Barry was actually Gary's new name.
Yes, it is.
Barry Allen-Gergish.
Am I Barry now? Mailman Barry. Tom was not in either of these episodes.
No, I missed the first couple minutes of the first episode because of the State of the Union address for State of the State address, rather. for Michigan, so that was unfortunate.
I missed, like, the first 3 seconds because the DVR – well, it's not the DVR's fault. It's the fact that NBC – do you notice that a lot of the networks start the show at, like, 2 minutes before it started time? It's super annoying. Grey's Anatomy does that too. It's really annoying. But I'm pretty sure Tom wasn't in that minute I missed.
No. As far as I know, he wasn't in either of these two episodes.
The closest he came to being in the episode was the Tom of Bistro's boxes Donna and Gary – I mean, Larry reading out of. Wow. Wait. Gary. That's right. That was legit, too. I got as confused as he did. But they were entertaining episodes. April found out what she wanted to do in life. Move away.
Everyone's moving. By the end of the season, no one's going to be in Pawnee anymore.
That's one thing that really annoys me. I hate when series do that. Although Leslie said she's going to go back and forth between it. But I hate when series have everybody moving away and leaving a place. It's like, can't you just let us think they're just going to be there forever and be happy? And this is a – I guess it's kind of a negative point. But one thing – I love Parks and Rec so much, and I like that it has a very positive energy. But I hate the whole everybody – gets their dreams and continues rising because it's so unrealistic. I know I'm not – I just talked about nitpicking shows for being realistic, but I hate that that's the way for everybody. Like Leslie and Ben were at a really good peak of her being at this national park job and him being city manager. I didn't feel the need to get them to rise higher or April to get this amazing job. I actually thought when she came out she was going to realize she just wanted to stay. That's what I thought for a second. Or she was going to work with the accountants and they were going to do a spinoff called April and the Accountants. I would watch it. I really love their appearances. I just watched a rerun like 2 days ago and I was like, I hope they make one more appearance.
Sure enough.
And it was a funny twist on the like whole shtick they always have of Ben accepting a job and then quitting.
Yeah.
To have them campaign so hard for April. And then he finally agrees to see her and she's like, she doesn't want the job. And this episode had like a ton of political cameos. Only two of them I knew, which was John McCain and then Madeleine Albright, solely because she mentioned Madeleine Albright in like a very early episode. Everybody else, if they're actually people, I mean like government people, I have no idea who they were.
I'm not sure if they were or not, because those are the only two I recognized too.
Yeah, but so there was a lot of
John McCain and his weird cheek tumor.
He was in the episode a while back where, like, Leslie just didn't want anything to do with him. She had no idea that he was behind her. She's like, I just need some privacy. Rouge. So that was funny. Was there anything else specifically I wanted to talk about from that episode? I liked the second episode better. I thought it was pretty funny. It was like, I feel like it was one of those greatest hit episodes where just so much stuff happened. There's actually an extended cut online.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm going to probably – I was almost watched it today, but I didn't want to watch it immediately after, so – but it was like the primary episode. There was just so many little callbacks, like Ben's love of calzones, which I always love, and making pies just like the sweet calzones. what's her name was back again. Damn it. I'm terrible with names tonight. The campaign lady.
Joan? Jane?
No. Joan Calamezzo was there too. Whatever. But she was back, and she had a poncho on to protect yourself from children. And Joan Calamezzo was in it. That super religious couple was in it. And Brandy Max was in it. And 69 Jump Street and 50 Shaved Gays. And I don't know. I know that the whole Woman of the Year award was like a callback to that episode where Ron won Woman of the Year.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if that lady who is the boss on Workaholics, if she was in that previous episode.
I don't remember.
But she was in it. The animal control guys were in it. They revisited their old offices again. There was a callback to the shoe shine stand. I was highly amused by Andy teasing.
The compliment had it.
Yeah, he was in it. Being super racist. I got a lot of kick out of Andy teasing April for having a crush on him. And he's like, we're married. He's like, I know, but super embarrassing. I thought that was like, just
Andy,
a really funny
Andy
idea.
Had his like stupid turned up this episode and it was great. Yeah.
It was really funny. I feel like there's even more. Like it was just like a ton of little callbacks and little Easter eggs, and it was kind of I mean, I'm sure they're not, it's not like they're never going to talk again, but it was like the sort of send-off episode for April and Ron's friendship, which I thought was nicely done. I think they also did that.
When Madeline Albright mentioned Anne's half-birthday.
Whose birthday? Anne's?
Yeah.
Anne's half-birthday?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Because she's been so busy, she almost missed Anne's half-birthday.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Wow. I guess I'll catch it in the watch of the extended cut.
I catch stupid things.
But I like that hornblower reference. I did think it was funny how she mentioned that Leslie sort of just like harassed her into being friends with her. That was funny. But yeah, they're good episodes, a lot packed in. I think they're doing a really good job of like essentially just giving us all these things that we've had in the past. And not making it seem that overcrowded.
Mm.
It still seems crazy to me, which I'm sure he will, because I know from his Twitter he will, but the John Ralphio hasn't showed up yet. But I know he's going to be in it. I imagine his dad would be too, possibly his sister. But, what, you don't like his sister?
Fonzie, never mind.
I didn't understand. Because it was like after I said his sister, and you just go, ee. And we're like a buzzing. But yeah, I really love this show. We're pretty close to the end now. Like 4 episodes left now.
I think 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. Because they'll probably either finale is an hour. So we're getting close to the end here.
Who are my male guys? Y'all need to shut up. Men's rights are nothing.
Oh, I forgot to mention that. That whole bit with the men's rights guys and the women's rights guys and all these activists, it was like a live-action version of the Togu fandom.
It was.
It was so perfect. Like, that's exactly what happens when anything happens. We have all these people coming in being offended over nothing. It was it was just pretty great. It was like, I wish there was some sort of like meme or GIF that could like sum up that scene just to use it as a representation of the Toku fandom. But yeah, Parks and Rec. I tweeted it out, but I love that line where Ron said, creative people are just are people that wear glasses and are liars or that like to lie. I'm like, that's true. I get that.
I like how the his workers...
Oh, his brothers.
What were their names?
First one was Don Swanson. And then there was like Lon and... but they all rhymed. At least I think they're all close.
Amazing.
To him. Yeah, and like the fact that he was able to hide his brothers from everybody in the Parks Department. And he was able to hide the Parks Department from his brothers. It's like, Ron, you had a brother? Kept it from me the whole time you were in the Parks Department? You worked in the Parks Department? So that was pretty funny. Fun.
It's always fun.
It is. And like the good
Flash and Arrow are like my wow, that was fucking awesome quota of the week, and the hour of Parks and Rec is like my that was fun quota of the week.
The good thing about this season is it actually gives us something to talk about because there's all these like future things and like callbacks, as opposed to, hey, that joke is funny. Remember when she did the thing and there was a purple guy on a surfboard? Well, that was Ninja.
I wouldn't put it past Parks and Rec to have a purple guy on a surfboard.
Pretty much. In fact, that's probably part of the finale. Craig was in this episode. Yeah, he didn't do anything that much. I just all of a sudden remembered Craig. He invited Donna to dinner and she didn't accept. Oh, I just want to mention again, I really did enjoy the Gary and Donna scenes.
Yeah.
I think it's just nice to give him some nice moments, because he's gotten so much shit over the years.
She went in the grate and pulled out, like, a phone.
headphones.
Like, yeah, like, and all the wedding rings he ever lost under there. And I like the idea that, obviously, it was nice that she helped him in the end, but I like the idea at the beginning that she just, instead of saying, "Here, let me help," she says, "Can I stay and watch?" Oh, it was good.
Sure, I'd love the company.
He's just so agreeable, and like, he doesn't want to be called the B word, bozo. Oh, classic Gary. I've had a hard time getting used to calling him Gary. Get me Gary Gergich. That's what I'm going to say whenever I answer the phone. Get me Gary Gergich. Who else is going to do the mindless work? All right. Is there anything else? I don't think there's anything else for Ramble Time. I was planning on asking Kevin how far he was in Supernatural, but he's sleeping on that one.
Sounds about right.
I don't think there's anything else on. I kind of stopped watching Gotham a little bit. I think I'm going to like...
Catch up. I didn't watch this week's. I watched like the last three last week.
I think I might wait and binge watch later. But even though it's kind of... Oh, excuse me. It got moderately better. I kind of lost interest a little bit.
It's kind of reached that point with me. Like, I still enjoy it to an extent, but I feel like it's stuck in this little loop.
Yeah.
Where it didn't really get anywhere. Like, this person's trumping that person, and that person's trying to kill this person. It's just like a constant loop of...
Yeah. And, oh, nobody in the department... Or everyone's crooked, and Gordon's the only straight cop. Everyone else is gay. No, but like, I think that it. I still absolutely think it has potential, and I'll probably catch up at some point. I don't know if I'll do it when it's still running or after, but I think that if it gets me invested in some more things, like some potential more mysteries or something ongoing, I think that would be nice. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. Like, Barbara's, like, a main cast member that only shows up every five episodes to whine and then leaves. Like, the last I saw, she hadn't been there in a while.
Yeah, she wasn't in, like, she was barely in the three episodes I watched. She went back to, like, her parents' house or something, and, like, that was the last you seen.
Yeah, okay, that's right, because I know she left, went to be a lesbian hoe, yeah. And then she got fooled by an 11-year-old girl. And came back to the apartment, and then she went to her parents, and then she never appeared again. I don't know what they're doing with her.
She needed to get out of the picture so that he can shack up with the prisoners.
Yeah, which, I don't know where they're going with that, because, I mean, obviously these shows change things, but she's supposed to be the mother of Batgirl.
Yeah.
Not the prison nurse, so I don't know. She's not looking very good right now. I mean, she's pretty good looking, but I mean, like, as a person.
Same actress that plays the voice of Harrison Wells' computer.
Oh, really?
Fun fact.
Wait, Barbara Gordon or Nurse Chick?
Nurse Chick.
Mm. Oh, okay.
There's our fun fact of the day.
We're going to have that every episode now. It's going to be a thing. This is how the summaries got started. And that turned out great. All right. Now it's time.
Now it is time for Final Thingies, MP3.
Final Thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
We almost had the real thing. This week should go up the... I think I said Yellow Ranger for Sentai Questions?
Yeah, I think so. I think I said that in the Rosetta Stone.
I stoned it totally. So, if I'm competent enough, I'll be able to stick to the every other week thing. So that should be a thing. I don't think there's any other news or anything like that. Fibonacci!